The Holy Gospel is taken from the 9th chapter of Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be. Some practicalities, walking. The whole idea for me was when we lived in Aberdeen, I thought to my friend Mike, who's not here, Mike Curry, he works with Catholic Community Services and is Catholic. He's really Lutheran. He's so close to being Lutheran. I almost got him. We talk about this all the time. He's like, every time the Pope says something that sounds dumb to him, it's like, I should probably just be Lutheran. But he's a very good friend. I said, hey, we should... to do 50 miles, because that, a marathon is awesome. To do a marathon is something. But then the next step is an ultra race, which is 30 miles or more, 50K or more. So 30 or 61, 50 or 100 miles. 100 miles sounds like a lot compared to 50, by the way. But I always said, we should walk from Aberdeen to Olympia, because it's about 50 miles. And he thought that was a dumb idea, like anybody else who I say that to. But it's that length of race that you think, I can't possibly do that. And it turns out, I was reading a little bit about people who do those races. About 75,000 people complete a 50 or more race each year. So, millions complete marathons. But not so many, because it's a kind of a dumb idea. It really is, because you will be hurt, and you typically in a race you don't have the expert support group of every 2 or 3 miles with a car full of my favorite snacks, or I can get a Subway sandwich. As Jerry was saying, in most 50-mile ultra races, they're on trails, and there may be 5 miles, 10 miles, an aid station. But you're alone. And as you go those distances, your body, you need to keep up with food intake. And typically you lose weight. And a lot of people don't finish these races because you lose a certain amount of weight. That's bad. I mean, and it's that quick of a time, you could die, or get serious health injuries. Well, I may be, and Jerry can verify this, I may be the only person who gained weight. Because I had enough for Jerry and for Mike and me, because everything tasted delicious. I did not lose a drop of weight. that was awesome. And our newly elected president, Ken Anderson, reminded me that in 1963, JFK, as president, said, hey, we need to be fit. And this was a Cold War thing, but we need to be fit, so we need to be able to walk or run 50 miles. And so I think it was hike 50 miles. So the JFK 50-mile thing is a thing that started, and it's the oldest one. So this isn't a new thing. It's just clearly not popular. Because having done it, I understand why it's not popular. So this takes us actually to our text. And when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And that's the image I thought of as I was walking and just thinking about Jesus and his time and what he did and how he did it. And he was just focused, you know, the path. I need to do this thing. And so when you hear this part, and they were going along, I will follow you. And by the way, the Samaritan part where the disciples say, hey, let's smite these Samaritans. The next chapter, chapter 10, is Jesus making a Samaritan a hero in the Good Samaritan story. You know, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love your neighbor. Oh, who's my neighbor? Someone asked him. Well, I've got a story for you. And it turns out the neighbor is someone who helps someone who's been beaten, who happens to be a Samaritan. And he says, go, you know, that person shows mercy. Go and do likewise. So Jesus always focused on love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Well, how about this story? This is what it means. But here's the line where Jesus says, someone asked him, I will follow you wherever you go. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. When I hear that, and as I was walking, I just thought, boy, that is a lonely statement. I mean, I just really feel Jesus there was saying, you know, you will follow me, but this thing that I'm doing, only I can do. This is my journey. This is my 50-mile walk. This is my thing that I have to do. To me, it just resonates with loneliness. Because Jesus says, follow me all the time. But not everybody can do what Jesus had to do. And so you have all of these follow me statements. And, you know, that's the question that I said to the, or talked about with the kids is, you know, what is Jesus asking you to do? How is Jesus asking you to follow him? It's a great question to ask. In the second reading, the Galatians reading, there's this wonderful freedom. You know, Jesus says, follow me, but we're free to follow Jesus. So what are we supposed to do? Well, it says all the things we aren't supposed to do, but then it has this wonderful list of things to do. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things are great traits. But today is probably, I want to just say some things about generosity. As Jerry and I were walking in our freedom, our freedom to walk for the kids and to walk for ourselves, because, you know, this morning I was sitting in the office and I started to cry a little bit because I did this. I walked 50 miles. I never thought in my life, first of all, I thought that's ridiculously stupid. I mean, I think I said that 1,000 times to Jerry, this is stupid. But that's what, I'm glad, I think it was Jerry, because sometimes when you run or walk, you know, when you do these 50 or more, you have the, all that you hear all the time of stories, because usually it's at night, you have ghosts. I mean, people start envisioning things and, you know, things happen. And I, at one point, I thought for sure a dog was coming up to bite me, but it was just a shadow, but I thought for sure it was a dog. It so scared me so much. And by the way, when you're walking, if you see some people walking down the road, because we walk 12 hellish miles down 101, going the opposite ways, please do not honk at someone who's walking. That just, you lose 1 year of life, because it's scary, because you're just trying to make sure you're not stepping on anything and they're going to stumble. But anyway, that's just a side note. So as we're walking in our freedom, you know, doing our following of Jesus, here's the dynamic. I read that to do these ultras, you have to convince yourself that you're invincible. Yeah, that's the only way you can finish. I am invincible. Oh, my feet hurt like nothing's ever hurt before, but I'm going to do this. My knees, I almost twisted my ankle. Jerry fell over a little tiny, they become very large, but a little tiny raise in the on Marvin, 0.2 miles away, he almost didn't make it because he just tripped, and I don't know how he was able to survive, but he didn't fall, and we made it. But you have to think, I am invincible. But I don't know how many hundreds of carcasses of roadkill we saw, and skeletons and cool skulls, and you know, there's a sense of a strong sense of fragility. If you walk roads, you see death, and so there's that invincibility, and there's that fragility, and those things just in that 50-mile journey and those 20 hours of our lives together, that just became obvious. Can you hand me that thing, Beth? You know, Pam, and this is her donation, which weighs way too much for someone who just walked 50 miles. But it's a lot of change here. And she put a comment on here. You must be the change, because it's change. I just got that now. You wish to see in the world, and that's from Gandhi, you know. And when I think of that, I think of Mother Teresa going to India. I think she thought she was invincible, and she changed the world in the things she did. But yet, as we heard later in her life and when she died, she had severe doubt, you know, and there's that fragility. Being invincible following Jesus, and there's the reality of death and fragility in the world. I mean, those are two things. So again, you heard Carol mention the announcements, please give. You know, someone gave me this little envelope for the Clean Kids Walk fund. So I have some to put in that thing that someone gave me. But please do that. Please think about that. If you can give beyond what you give to the church, that would be great for the Clean Kids, because it makes a difference in those kids' life. And the final thing is, as we're walking, I mean, Jesus says this all the time, follow me. You know, and I said to Jerry, since I was 8, Jesus has said, follow me. And so I'm on my 50-mile walk with Jesus, you know, and it's been 43 years so far. So I hope to make it to 50 years. That'd be great, but, you know, that is what it is. But you may be on the end of your walk with Jesus, or you may have, you know, sat down and thought, maybe this is not for me. But I encourage you. It's an adventure. And at times you will feel invincible. And at times you will feel fragile and close to death. But what is Jesus calling you to do right now? To follow him. That's what Jesus says. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me out the door. I have adventures for you. Amen.